Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Here's a scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly we come to exalt that wonderful name of Jesus, and we're excited about the Lord and all that he is doing and has done in the life of his people. And on today, we have another one, a glorious lesson that I know you're going to be tremendously blessed as we impart the principles of the Lord and as we continue to contextualize the relevancy of the Word of God for today's living. I know that you are going to be tremendously blessed by the Word of the Lord on today. I'm going to invite you, if you go with me, to the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verses 18 through 19, and verse 22 and 23. I'm going to be talking about today God's call to new level of leadership. And so let's take a look at that. We're going to look at several passages of scriptures, Numbers, and then we're going to go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Let us pray. Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness and bind the hand of the enemy right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing to be upon this session and bless those that will listen, God, that you will impart wisdom and, Lord, practical application, that they may move to the next level and to the places where you're calling them as the children of God to go. And, Father, we thank you because you are the right now God, the God that have all power in your hand, because truly you can do all things but fail. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about, again, God's call to new level of leadership. And we're coming from the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 18 through 19, and verse 22 and 23. And it reads on this line, and the Lord said unto Moses, take three Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and took Joshua, and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hand upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Joshua chapter number 1, verses 1 and 2, verses 6 through 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Verses number 6 through 9, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thy divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I command thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever so thou goest. Also, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 14. And it reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Let's take a look at our lesson on today actually looking at God calls to new level of leadership. Some of the things that we will look at today will be God places us under leaders, and God give us lessons to learn, and God give us tests to pass, and God saw Joshua's potential for leadership. Let's take a look at that. We live in with a shortage, not in the physical sense, but we are surrounded on all sides by matters and not sensory realm, for we are bombarded on every side by sights and sound. Certainly this shortage is not a spiritual, for God is ever present. Nevertheless, a shortage does not exist in our culture, a shortage of our quality leaders. Now, today's world urgently need excellent leaders. Now, this leadership void should not exist in the Church of Jesus Christ. In his kingdom, it should be normal for those redeemed by his blood to develop in his likeness until they are leaders who continually attempt to accomplish his will on the earth. In this lesson, we will explain and explore the life of Joshua and discuss the key components in developing a life into full potential God desire that he can utilize to perform his purpose. Now, we will also discover that God saw in Joshua how God shaped him and how God's timing affected his life. We will apply the quality Joshua exhibited to our own life in order to affect the kingdom of God positively. Now, we will help fill the shortage of leadership. Now, let's take a look further. Let's look at God places us under leaders. Now, the first essential step towards a person's leadership development is for God to place them up under the authority of another. The specific of how God developed individual, it varies, but in every case, the common thread of submission, learning, and testing are always present and a part of the process. Now, one needs only grace through the pages of the scripture to see that this pattern bore out. Moses, he molded Joshua. Jesse and Saul helped to develop David. Eli trained Samuel. Elijah developed Elijah. Paul disciplined Timothy. And Jesus taught the apostle. Even Christ Jesus himself went through the process for Luke wrote, and Jesus went down with his parents to come to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Should we then find it is strange that the process relegate in us? God uses the plan of submission to the authority in our life to unfold his purpose in us. By doing so, we acknowledge our need for further development and express our hunger to grow spiritually. In these seasons, God determined and proved our willingness to submit as well as equipped us for the day when we will step out of the shadow of our current mentor into a greater level of responsibility. Now, God give us lessons to learn as well. One of the great treasure of time spent under the tutelage of another is the invaluable lesson we learn from coordinated interaction and from observation. Now, the opportunity to observe how a leader handles situation, exercise wisdom, and apply principle have no substitute. No amount of book learning or seminars or seminary can accomplish what quite a moment under the guidance of a leader can do. Now, Joshua, he had such a moment in Numbers chapter 11. So Moses, he assembled all of but two of the 70 elders of Israel around the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord descended on Moses, and God places the spirit of prophecy upon the 70 elders, and they begin to prophesy. For some reason, however, Eldad and Medad had not come to the tabernacle. Still, God visited them where they were and moved also upon them to prophesy. Now, a young man ran to Moses with the news. Joshua heard and objected indignantly. Because Elad and Mead had not come when they The call went out. He protested, "My Lord Moses forbidden them." Numbers 11, verse 28. However, Moses turned to him patiently and said, "Envious thou not for my sake. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon him." Joshua learned a valuable lesson that a leader must not fall prey to jealousy or ego in a one-on-one interaction with their leaders. Joshua observed as his leader dealt with another more grievous situation in Exodus 32. As Moses climbed down Mount Sinai, he met with his servant Joshua, and they descended together. They heard and then they saw the Hebrews reveling around the golden calf. How would Moses respond? Joshua witnessed both the anger of Moses at the sin of his people and his intercession for them. What a marvelous lesson of the proper response to transgression. Joshua could have learned such a lesson only by close association with the person of authority in his life, who was Moses. Now, further, God give us tests to pass. God tests his people before he uses them, and their ability to pass the test often associate with their willingness to learn from a mentor. Attempting to pass these developmental tests on one's own can result in calamity. Joshua faced some difficult tests while serving Moses. Perhaps this was most clearly demonstrated when Moses selected him as one of the 12 spies sent to view the land of Canaan. Now, after their journey through the land, the majority of his companion reported only the challenges that would prevent their victory. But the men that went up with him said, "We will be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Would Moses demonstrate the same courage and conviction Moses had demonstrated to them, and would he cave up under the negative pressure of his peers? How Moses' heart must have waned and swelled when Joshua stood in unison with Caleb against the naysayer. Caleb's faith-filled word demonstrated their visionary commitment. "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You'll see that over in Numbers 13 and verse number 30. Every believer will encounter similar opportunity to stand for faith and victory in relationship with God. God must test and establish us as he is building us to be the leaders until he can entrust us with more responsibility. We should never underestimate the importance of decisions we make early in our relationship with God. While these moments may appear insignificant, God may be testing our willingness to stand for right. Now, God saw Joshua's potential for leadership. One man wisely said, "God loves everyone equally, but he does not trust everyone equally." That may be true, but one thing is certain, that God has a vital role for every person in his kingdom, and every part of the body of Christ has something to add to the whole. Ephesians 4, verses 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, why does God place individuals at different level of responsibility? What does God see in one that may be absent from another? What did he see in Joshua that distinguished him from another among the masses of young men who traced out of Egypt? God chose him by name and favored him above his fellow in the sight of the congregation. Let's look at some of the things that he's seen in the life of Joshua. First of all, he was faithful. There are no more important character trait in God's economy than a man be faithful and their faithfulness. It has distinguished him in a great way than does his talents or ability. While talented people are plenteous, God preferred to use faithful people. This is largely why God bestowed favor on young Joshua. Joshua was faithful to God. His deep gratitude for deliverance from the sting of the Egyptian whip and the degradation of slavery developed into an endearing faithfulness to God. We too must be faithful to God. All other commitments in life must be secondary to the one we make to Jesus Christ, because he delivered us from the power of darkness and death. If that commitment wavers, we cannot expect to be called to do greater things for God. God will not entrust a significant work into the hand of one who will not serve him faithfully. Now, Joshua was faithful to God, but he also was faithful to Moses. Such dedication to the leaders in our lives is a significant key to advancing in the kingdom of God. Now, Joshua was faithful to Isaiah, and certainly God asked us to be faithful to a cause that's much bigger than ourselves. The New Testament believers must demonstrate unwavering loyalty to the church and to the things of God. Joshua was faithful in battle. He served in the front line, conquering the enemy, and some believers may deserve what they hear, the sound of the battle, but God favor and elevate the person who stands his ground against the enemy of their soul. Faithfulness distinguishes a servant from his peers. Now let's look at trustworthiness. Now, to receive trust, a person must prove himself self-worthy of trust. Trust is not a demanded, it is earned. Further, one who does not earn trust in a moment of time, but over an interval of time, a variety of tests reveal layers of character. A believer earns trust when he has the opportunity to violate it, but refuses to do so. Integrity, despite opposition, merit trust. Now, Joshua demonstrated his worthiness of the Lord's trust by passing each test as it came. After he conquered Canaan with the 12 spies, or went and spied it out, he not only allowed the negative report of the 10 to overpower his and Caleb's position and positive report. When God needed a leader to succeed Moses, Joshua's pivotal moment proved him worthy of trust. Proving ourselves worthy of trust often is done in unseen moments away from the public arena. It could be as simple as noticing that the clerk gave you too much change. It could be refusing to tell a story or tell a lie and things. God is constantly judging us. In reality, such defining moments render us worthy or unworthy of trust. Let's look further. Now, the Bible emphasizes that the importance of vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is one of the qualities that attracts the favor of God and prepares a perfect person for leadership. Now, Joshua certainly demonstrated this. Human perspective finds it that this group of newly freed people was able to walk and travel through and conquer walled city and overthrow Canaan, the Canaanites and the culture, and to defeat physical giants. Only a man whose dreams are grounded in faith in God could possibly see such a remote possibility as certainty. Yet Joshua had such faith-filled vision, even as everyone else looked at the reason they could not accomplish the purpose of God. Joshua saw that they could, and when 40 years have passed, all the doubters have fallen. God chose this visionary to do what he and Canaan had long before said that they could do. Never minimize the dream that God has given you. Timing is everything. When God needs a believer to lead his people in the next conquest, he turns consistently to someone who sees what others cannot see. Now let's look at another character's trait about Joshua. Now he was responsible. Joshua possessed a robust sense of responsibility. It seems that leaders get more than their share of credit when things go well and more than their share of blame when things go wrong. A leader must not allow successes for which he received credit to go to their head or her head and cloud out their judgment or taint them with pride. Further, the willingness of a leader not to deflect blame for mistake or failure is vital for the success of the cause that he leads or she leads. Joshua, he shouldered a responsibility in which a leader should have during the trouble Israel in conquered at Ai. Fresh off the stunning victory at Jericho, Joshua sent a small constituency of soldiers to conquer the seemingly insignificant city. Unaware of the sin that had infiltrated the camp of Israel, Joshua was dismayed to hear that the troop had been defeated and 36 of his men killed. He did not berate the soldier or pass blame on others. Instead, he threw himself on the ground before the Lord and sought an answer. When he heard of the Achan's sin, Joshua led the effort to cleanse the nation. After completing the grisly state task, Joshua personally led the force against Ai, and he passed another test of leadership. Such quality leader is rare in our days. Most people find it easier to avoid any personal responsibility and assume that someone else should bear the burden and either be commended for the accomplishing the task or blamed for its failure. If believers desire to be the leaders God would choose, they must accept the burden of responsibility. For example, we should bear our own responsibility to pray. We should not expect God to make us soul winners. We ourselves are responsible to be witnesses. We should not expect God to fill our minds with knowledge of the Word of God without studying to show ourselves approved unto God. The responsibility is ours. When God sees we are willing to bear it, we have taken a significant step towards fulfilling His purpose in our lives. Now, let's look. We just looked at some of the traits that Joshua had. We looked at the fact that Joshua, he was faithful, he was trustworthy, he was a visionary, and he was responsible. Let's further take a look here at God. He decided when to advance us. Now, someone has said, timing is everything. Obviously, timing is important to God, for he exercised perfect timing. For instance, he gave Israel a calendar with specific feast days and years of jubilee. He banished them for a predetermined length of time in Babylon. He even timed perfectly the arrival of the Messiah. Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Galatians 4:4. God make appropriate decision regarding the timing of a person, investment in his kingdom. He know exactly how long we need to prepare and when to propel someone to visible leadership. If a person attempts to force the issue out of impatience or pride, he merely ensures his own failure at the task God could have used him to accomplish successfully at a later date. And we must recognize that timing is vital. Now, Moses groomed Joshua over 40 years for the hole he was to fill, but God alone decided when the chapter of leadership should give way to new chapter. Only when the next generation of leader was significantly developed did God send Moses to the top of the mountain to view the promised land and to die. Clearly, God planned for the death of Moses and Joshua's succession to leadership of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, thy day approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of congregation that I may give him a charge." Deuteronomy 31:14. One of the greatest challenges for leaders in training is to learn the art of serving while waiting. A person destroys much of their potential when they rushes foolishly ahead of God's timing and attempts to thrust themselves into a role for which they're not yet ready for. But the individual who with joy continue to celebrate their freedom from Egypt by serving in a lesser capacity until the day God selects them for a greater thing is the one whose appointment with destiny is really certain. Now, God will place us where he needs us. Every child of God should serve in the kingdom at the king's pleasure and for his glory in the location and capacity that God chooses. Now, Joshua did not elbow Moses out of his vital role. It was his willingness to minister unto God's ordained leader that qualified him for his role. God elevates us at times, and at other times he sets us down. He often selects ones to accomplish one task and someone else to accomplish another. Both are successful if they serve the master in their appointed roles. Have not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Romans 9:21. Would-be leaders must build an altar at which it place their future entirely in the hand of God. And as God's will, one will lead thousands and another one will lead a dozen. One will preach to the multitude while another will teach to one-on-one home Bible study. One will pastor a church while another will run a church bus. All of the leaders, if they will serve faithfully where God has placed them, will be a tremendous blessing to God and to the things of God. Now, further, God will empower us. Now, Joshua had to be a little intimidated, even knowing God had called him and was preparing him for a monumental leadership role, to be thrust into the folds of about 2 million rugged and stiff-necked people organizing a force that could pull off a massive military victory would be a daunting task. However, God did not call Joshua because the man thought he could do it. He called Joshua because Joshua would allow divine empowerment to work through him. Now, Joshua 1 verses 5 through 7 states, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide and inherit the land, which I sware unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Now, the same is true for all those who serve God through divine appointment. He does not expect us to serve in our own strength, but in his strength. Paul wrote to the believer in Corinth, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." 2 Corinthians 4:7. When we rely on him to help us accomplish something for his kingdom, we know where the glory belongs. He empowers us, we serve him, his kingdom advances, and he alone receives the honor. Let us look further. God will provide for us. As Joshua's days of leading the people of Israel unfold, he faced unimaginable challenges. Had God shown him all of these obstacles and battle to come, Joshua might have gladly wished his leadership role on someone else. Instead, each challenge arose, God provided the plan and the resources for the victory. Whether it is circling Jericho in silence or placing an ambush behind the enemy or causing the sun to stand still, God always met the need for the moment. Those who are developing into leaders must know that God will never call a person to something and then leave him without the tools to strength to accomplish it. We are laboring in the kingdom, so he assured us that he will also provide for us. Now let's look. God has a purpose for our life. We are not saved to be idle, but to serve. This is true for the people from every economic or social spectrum, every educational level, every ethnic background, every family. Every born-again believer has a specific God-ordained purpose. all excuses for us shying away from this purpose pale in light of the enabling power of God. Even a sinful past does not disqualify us from a future of purpose. The scriptures are full of testimony of those who we call or would expect to fail, who instead become winners. For example, an adulterer and murderer became a man after God's own heart. A liar became a father of the faithful. A man who denied Christ by the courtyard fire just days later proclaimed him as Lord of all at Pentecost. Further, we are responsible for discovering God's purpose for our life. Understanding that every believer have a purpose in God's kingdom is only the first step. We should not remain idle while waiting marching order. The expectation when God want me, he'll tell me is flawed from God has clearly informed us what he wants. Acts chapter 1, verses 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We should seek actively for God's specific purpose in our life. We can accomplish this only by listening to his advice, communing with him in private devotion and public worship service, and heeding the counsel of the elders. We who would be leaders must pursue intentionally God's will for our life. An individual who make empty promises to act in office excuses or idleness will not discover the will of God. Purpose awaits every individual, and each one must seek to find it. Now, finally, we are responsible for fulfilling God's purpose. Once we have discovered our purpose, the goal becoming fulfilling it, each member of God's body of Christ must strive to accomplish all God has ordained for him. The ultimate is like hanging around and starting the starting line till the race is over. There is no higher commitment for the child of God than knowing we are fulfilling the will of our Creator, to raise each morning with the assurance that we are actively about our Father's business, and to retire each night with a sense of eternal accomplishment is the type of life he promised. Jesus promised, "I am come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly," John 10 and 10. We do not measure abundant life by the quantity of blessing God sent our way, but in the scope of the service that we render to him. Thus, the believer enjoy abundant life as he fulfills God's purpose in life. So, Father, being chosen and commissioned by Jesus to serve in his kingdom is the highest honor a person can receive. It eclipses any other position or even any other reward. It fulfills the believer in a measure and a temporal pleasure and a possession that cannot fulfill that. To that end, every child of God should seek to prepare to lead in whatever fashion God would design. Joshua set a wonderful example for us to follow. He spent valuable time up under the influence of a godly leader. He learned lessons that benefited him in the years ahead. He passed the test that proved his character for the future assignment. He waited on God's timing. He demonstrated such faithfulness, trustworthiness, vision, and responsibility that God selected him for a great role. This is another reason as we begin to allow ourselves to be cultivated and groomed by God, whoever he has placed us up under as the child of God, as our mentors and as the authority figures that are over us, God placed us up under those so that he can prepare us for leadership and to the next role in which God has for us as the man and the woman of God. And so I encourage you on today and admonish you that God is calling and raising up new leaders. But in that new leadership and in being raised up, God is going to test you. God is going to cultivate you. God is going to prove you as the child of God, and he's going to do that up under the leadership of another great leader. And so wherever God has placed you, begin to be content and begin to serve with your whole heart, mind, and soul in whatever capacity that you can serve in faithfully, and watch God bless you. Even as he told Joshua, he said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I sware unto your father to give you. Be only thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to all the law which Moses my servant had commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And so, child of God, don't turn from your assignment and for what God has called you to do. Wherever God have you at, even right now, he's preparing you for the next level. And I come to encourage your heart on this day to settle in and let God bless you in a mighty and a special way, and watch him do something awesome in and through your life. And so until we meet again, continue to press forward in the things of the Lord and be faithful and serve your leader. Serve and be the witness that God has called you to be, even in this earth. Gracious Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. And I pray for every leader, every budding leader that is blossoming and moving forward into the things of God. I pray that you bless them, strengthen them, undergird them, and fortify them, Father, in and through the things of the Lord. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. And Father, we pray that they keep their hands to the plow and look not back, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. As I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door, or it, shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7, child of God, I pray that a no-sorrow blessing will come to your house on today. May God bless you until we meet again. The blessings of the Lord be with you. Bye-bye.